listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
We're hearing a lot, and especially in the age of the 24-hour news cycle, we get the details down to the minute. Some of this stuff isn't even really being reported as much as being flashed up on the screen without any serious journalism going on. In an age when people's cell phones can bring us footage of serious events like the crisis in the Ukraine, it's coming at us so fast, it seems as though it's all unfolding, and what is most important, what historians will be doing, is going back and reviewing YouTube videos of the crisis. There are the latest stunning photograph of what's going on in the Ukraine. Have we lost in our everything comes at us right now media style? Have we lost an historical perspective on something as significant as the war in the Ukraine? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Joining us for the first few minutes of the program, George Conger. Will talk about media coverage of the crisis in the Ukraine a little bit later. We'll also discuss at least one claim that a significant portion of the bishops in the Church of England are in fact gay, but doesn't really define what that term actually means. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker joins us for our weekly conversation with him, teaching a Sunday school lesson in Matthew chapter 27, of course, the significant events of the Passion of Christ, a little bit later in this hour of Issues Etc. Join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. George Conger is a regular guest. He formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, welcome back.
Hello, Todd.
In all of the, this is happening now, this is the latest event, this is the latest thing that has occurred in the Ukraine, has the media coverage lost sight of the historic the history of the crisis over there?
Oh, I very much think so. That the media these days doesn't seem to be able to tell the difference between what is important and what is urgent. In other words, every little trip that Secretary of State John Kerry or every statement made by Angela Merkel of Germany or David Cameron of Great Britain about the Ukraine gets tremendous coverage. But if you take the long view, if you say, look at this in 100 years from now, nobody, I think, will care or have any interest in what the politicians are saying, but they'll want to look at what the deep culture, the real movers and shakers in the Ukrainian and the Russian psyche are saying and doing right now. And that is, for most Ukrainians and most Russians, the Christian churches, the leaders. And what is not being reported that I've seen anywhere in the Western press is the very sharp divide that's been forming between the Russian Orthodox and the Catholic Church over the Ukraine. We've reached a level of, frankly, vitriol that has not that I've not seen, I guess, in the 20 years that I've been writing about the religion in Europe.
So we're really talking here about stopping and saying, not only asking the question, why is this happening? What's happening today? Why is it happening? Where does it fit in the broader swath there? But asking, I think the term you just used, kind of those deeper cultural questions of what's really behind those more visible causes.
Well, you've got the Russian Orthodox Church basically saying that Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, is engaged in a civilizing mission to prevent the Ukraine from falling into the crutches of the corrupt West, and that God save Vladimir Putin because he is doing God's work in advancing the Christian ethos and defending Christianity from faithless atheistic Europe. This is the Russian Orthodox Church saying this about Vladimir Putin and defending the annexation of the Ukraine and defending the old leaders of the Ukraine. While the Catholic Church, the Ukrainian Catholic Church, which is under the Roman Catholic Church, has been responding just as strongly, saying the Catholic culture, Western culture, as envisioned by the Catholic Church, is saving and protecting the Ukraine from the Asiatic hordes of the East. We really are in that degree of language of deep, visceral, cultural, religious identity between the two sides, of a thousand-year battle between the Poles and the Ukrainians and the Galicians and the Russians. And just because we have new countries and new borders and new rulers, things haven't changed. This could be from 500 years ago. The same issues, the same peoples fighting almost the same battles over the same territory.
Similar concerns were raised, and it's almost faded from memory, George. I mean, after 9/11, I remember many people saying, look, let's put this in perspective. This isn't the first time there have been vicious Muslim attacks, either in our time or in ancient history. I remember that, but that all got lost in the shuffle eventually.
Well, I guess you could call it an ignorance of history, but that may very well play a major part of it. But also, I think there's a terrible, terrible fear among many elites in the media or in the government to look at religion and culture and allow it to have any role in these issues. Now, the Russians truly believe that God is on their side. They truly believe their country is the Third Rome, that it has a civilizing mission to Christianize the world. And you can dismiss Vladimir Putin as a thug, as a KGB man. You can say all these things, and they're probably all going to be true. But that doesn't take away from the fact that his people are backing him, and the church that draws the allegiance of the vast majority of Russians is also backing him, and it is painting this in terms of a crusade.
George, I think part of it may be this, and this is I don't have the historical knowledge either, I'll admit that, but maybe part of it is this. We are accustomed to thinking of Russia as the godless former Soviet Union, the atheistic former Soviet Union. And maybe it's just hard for us here in the U.S. to wrap our heads around the fact that the church has such a strong voice there among the Russian people.
Yes, it does. Stalin attempted to wipe it out, and he almost succeeded in wiping it out. If by wiping it out you mean killing the clergy. But in 1942-41, when the Russians were at the gates of Moscow, Joseph Stalin had to turn to the Russian Orthodox Church to invigorate Russian nationalism. Stalin had to reach out to the church to save the communist regime from the Nazis. And though religious practice may be very different in Russia than it is in the United States, the soul of Russia, if you will, is so deeply embedded and welded in Orthodoxy that this battle is being seen by the Russians in religious and cultural and almost apocalyptic terms, because it is, you know, their belief that they have a civilizing mission. They have a mission to protect their brother Slavs from the corruption and decadence and destructiveness of the West. Now, this ties into things that just don't make sense to many Americans. For instance, the Russian Orthodox Church is a very, very strong supporter of Vladimir Putin's anti-gay campaign. Now, they're not campaigning for persecution of homosexuals or the killing of homosexuals, anything like that, but what they are very much against, the normalization of homosexuality in the West that they see in gay marriage and gay civil partnership laws and adoption laws. And Vladimir Putin is an excellent politician. He wouldn't be the ruler of the country that he is without these skills, but he has managed to harness that ethos, that religious sense, and tie it into his sense of what it means to be Russian. And this is, I'll be the first to admit, this seems so strange to most Western ears, where religion is so separated from the church, is so separated from the state. Well, in Russia, until 1918, the church and state were one. And they're not at that place where they were in 1918, but they're moving very closely back to that.
Before we let you go, with only a few minutes here, you've also written recently about an issue raised in the media about gay bishops in the church. What did you find there in a nutshell, George?
Well, this is one of the perennial stories you'll get in the tabloids and that the British press loves to have fun with. How many gay bishops are there in the Church of England? Well, Slate magazine ran a story and included a claim that 13 of 42 bishops are gay. Well, that's not quite true, because that I've heard this in the past, and it's 13 of all the 100-plus bishops, not just the 42 diocesan. But then it makes this claim that there are 13 gays and they should all be outed, and wink, wink, nod, nod, we know who they are, and we're going to leave hints as to who they are. Well, I know who these guys are, and there's a difference between someone who has same-sex attractions but leads a chaste life, a celibate life, and believes those attractions are sinful and temptations that he must fight against in order to be faithful to the Christian teaching on marriage and sexuality. And you have to ask the question, is that man gay? He may be a celibate man who has homosexual inclinations, but he doesn't act upon it, or if he has acted upon it, he repents of that and marks it as sin and condemns it utterly. And the press in England doesn't want to make the distinction between someone who has an inclination and someone who acts upon the action and thinks it's good and blessed and joyful. And so we've got the press, who just love to accuse the Church of England of hypocrisy, which is pretty much of an easy target. You can't miss with that sort of story. But this is really one of those issues that you really have to define your terms. What is a gay man? And it's ever-expanding sometimes to sort of fit the agenda of the newspaper or the magazine that's printing the story.
George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. You'll find a link at our website, issuesetc.org. George, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker, as we do every week here on Issues Etc. We have come in that time of the church year, the Lenten season, very near when the Passion becomes into focus. It's always in focus for the church, but during the Lenten season, especially as we approach the coming Sundays, the Passion looms ever even larger. We'll talk about the suffering of Christ in Matthew chapter 27 with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel, right after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Christianity has so much influence our culture that we take it for granted and think it was always that way.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And if you move into one of the Mideastern countries where primarily the theology of Islam operates, you can see the influence of what Christianity has had in our culture. Yet, we tend not really quite to, how shall I say, realize it and appreciate it. And once in a while, we need to be reminded.
You can meet and hear Dr. Alvin Schmidt making the case for Christianity's positive impact on civilization June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.